Hi there, my name is Larkin Campbell. The title of the book is A View from the Middle, How an Unknown Actor Managed to Stay That Way.
I always chuckle a little bit at the title. You have worked with Chris Rock. You have met Will Smith. And I think we're at a point here, Larkin, where the hot takes have traveled around the world a couple of times. Will Smith has now apologized in a much more complete way than he did on Oscar night. He's apologized directly to Chris Rock. As you've been able to sit back and think about this some, what is your opinion about the slap and all that surrounds it?
To be honest, it bums me out because the Oscars over the years, you know, they usually play nice, right? they take a cause, you know, it was Black Lives Matter or getting women, you know, better jobs in this industry. And it's always been a great stage for people. But, you know, it seems like, you know, the Golden Globes with Ricky Gervais, you know, he seems to poke fun at everybody he can get his hands on. He's destroyed, you know, Mel Gibson many times. And that seemed to be apropos for that night. But Oscars, it was never really like that. It seemed like it. There was such a wonderful evening, you know, and the movie business is, you know, they're trying to get back on their feet. You know what I mean? Like if it's not a superhero movie, we can't even get people to get back in the theaters, you know, and the streaming is taking over and it's clearly the streaming movie won Best Picture. But, you know, Oscar, it was great to have it back and fun hosts and all that stuff. It just such a, you know, I hate to say surreal because it was just such a negative thing. You know, Chris Rock is no newbie to this business. You know, he's been around a long time and he's been brash. He's been, you know, I don't think he ever thought he did anything wrong. You know, he I don't know if there seems to be a little bit coming out that they've had a little bit of bubbly past. You know what I mean? Like maybe somebody said something in the past couple of years and, you know, but Chris Rock was doing what he was hired to do. And, you know, if Amy Schumer makes that same joke, I don't even know if anybody cares.
We mentioned that you've worked with Rock. Is there anything about your personal experience with him that informs this incident on Oscar night? People noted he didn't go after Will Smith to try to slap him back. He didn't press charges. But the joke was considered in bad taste. Jada Pinkett Smith is battling an autoimmune disease and she's losing her hair. Is that, you know, fair game for a joke?
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, that's the big question, right? But, you know, I mean, I worked with Chris a long time ago, but, you know, and people I know have worked with him and people I knew a few people that were in the room when it happened the other night. And Chris Rock has turned the corner on being an entertainer, you know, and people, you know, he was probably asked to be there for a reason because he's got the right mood for that type of night. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, the joke wasn't in his script and it just came to him. And, he's smiling like crazy the whole time before the incident. And he's completely enjoying himself. You know, he could have picked on anybody, right? He could have picked on Nicole Kidman or Keith Urban or anybody else in the front row. And I don't know if anybody says anything. But yeah, you know, when I worked with Chris, it was on Lethal Weapon 4, was a long time ago. And Chris was just kind of dipping his toe in the water of, you know, becoming a somewhat, you know, dramatic actor. And I thought he was a little bit over his head on that movie. He's playing a tough cop who's dating Danny Glover's daughter. And, you know, but he was with some heavyweights. He was with Dick Donner and Mel Gibson and Danny Glover and Rene Russo and Jet Li and the comedic scenes he had down. But, you know, the dramatic scenes he worked on, you know, he's a professional dude. And that's why you stick around in this business for 30 years, because he knows what he's doing. It's hard to pinpoint. I mean, I've been watching probably the same things you have been, Dimitri, about if there was a feud between them at all, or if Chris Rock, I mean, and kudos to him. Good Lord. You know, I don't think I've been slapped, you know, in public, but man, his composure was admirable. And, you know, he could have said a lot of things. He cursed too, but my goodness, he was defending himself, you know, verbally and physically. And I don't know, a lot of other dudes might not have handled that way either. But then, you know, maybe Chris brought it on himself. Who knows? But man, there definitely seems to be something going on with Will Smith at this time in his life that either the role he's been playing and the interviews that he's been giving, saying that, you know, he's a defender of the women in his life. And he's clearly in the movie, he plays a defender of his daughters. But my goodness, you know, I don't know if he needs to carry the role with him around for the rest of his life. They've been in the news a lot lately. There's, you know, and Will Smith was supposed to be, you know, one of the biggest nights in his amazing career. You know, he's a giant. He's a giant in the industry. You know, if George Clooney did this, wouldn't the world fall off its axis? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I certainly do.
There was something brewing in him that night, a lot of emotions probably. And, you know, he did a big apology. But Dimitri, isn't the crazy part of the whole night, like just the way he gets to stay in the room and he keeps in the front row and 40 minutes later, he stands up and he's crying and giving a speech about how what kind of man he wants to be. And is it a bigger deal than we're making it? Is it just an incident like that? Or, man, was it a joke about how ridiculous this business can be at times? I don't know, man. No.
Interestingly, you've walked me up to a question here that I have, that national TV critic Eric Deggans was unhappy with the Oscars production after the slap. He thought it would have been wise to have Sam Jackson or another presenter come up and say the nominees for Best Actor are, then list the names, and then say the winner is Will Smith, but because of what he did earlier tonight, we will not be hearing from Will Smith. Deggan says this would have avoided the odd spectacle that you just described of the crowd giving a standing ovation to the man who had just slapped another man on live TV. Do you think there was enough time within the production to do something like that? And would that have been the quote-unquote punishment for Will Smith?
I don't know. You know, I mean, when I worked in Entertainment Tonight years ago, my first job in LA, you know, 30 some years ago, and I worked at the Golden Globes a couple years in a row, you know, and it's a production. There's 1,000 people involved. You know, there's all the people back behind the scenes, and there's the technical directors, and they're the guys directing it from the booth. And there's a lot going on. And, you know, maybe if they could do it again, I bet they'd do what, you know, you heard that a reporter said looking back, but, you know, everybody was probably scrambling that night because it was so, so out of the blue. And I think everybody in the room knew he was going to win. So everyone knew that moment was coming. So, and there's talk that I don't think they can take the Academy Award away from him. You know, he's certainly, you know, his career has been, you know, every few years he gets a monster role and then he does some other, you know, things that he wouldn't be nominated for. So I guess they could just flat out never nominate him again, which isn't a big punishment for what he did. But, you know, I think the people in that room, you know, we're shocked, and I think the voters, if they vote today, does he win? No way, right? Am I right?
I think you bring up a good point. You know, there's a newly arriving quote from an Academy member I just read before coming into the studio here. This person is not giving their name, but they say, there's no getting over this. This taints everything, and that's unfortunate. So my question for you, as somebody who's been in the system, will this affect Will Smith's ability to get certain roles? Does he remain a Hollywood A-lister?
It's going to be funny to see how he maneuvers this next couple weeks. But, you know, but I mean, is... He is a giant in this industry, you know, and he produces a lot of things and he's helped a lot of people along the way. And he's looked at as, you know, he could be up there with Tom Hanks as far as what people think of him as being a super nice guy. And my wife and I worked on Men in Black 2 years and years ago. And she was an assistant director and I was a stand in for Tommy Lee Jones. And, you know, we were there. But, you know, Will Smith, he's a movie star for a reason. You know, he's been lighting up every room he walks into for 30 years. He's certainly earned the reputation of being a movie star. And then, you know, do people forget, you know, things like this? You know, can Alec Baldwin ever climb out of the hole that he's in? You know what I mean? And but Will Smith, you know, he's got his community behind him and he's got the reputation that very few guys have gotten, you know, as big as he has been. So I don't know. I mean, his apology was massive. I think it just depends, you know, the next time he wants to apologize to Chris Rock in the face. And if those guys do some pictures together and all is forgiven, I don't know. It only is what it was, right, Dimitri? I mean, it was what it was. A grown man, whether he's famous or not, lost his temper for a few minutes. You know, if he would have done it backstage, I don't even think we hear about it, you know, but he did what he did. So, you know, can the world forgive him? I don't know. If they're divided on this, I think they won't care if he's in a superhero movie in 3 years. And I think they'll still go and see it. But, you know, it's just the whole thing, Dimitri, it really is just sad. You know, I listened to NBC and Craig Melvin in the morning and he said it's just sad. You know, what our country has been coming out of the past couple of years with Black Lives Matter and all the rioting and all everything we've been through for a couple of years. And granted, you know, a lot of people have been through a lot worse. But he said, Black men are always fighting to beat their own reputation of easy to anger. And you know, and Craig was saying it, you know, very eloquently. But, you know, he felt it was a setback for the way our country is trying to feel about each other right now. And, you know, it's just really a bummer. And that movie Coda, you know, it wins Best Picture and nobody cares. Best Supporting Actor and nobody cares. And Adapted Screenplay. And, you know, a lot of people do care. Don't get me wrong on that. A lot of people do care because the movie was magical. Hearing impaired people that you know, stamp their mark on that movie forever. It's just fantastic. It's amazing. And, you know, we're talking about this ridiculous event that happened. But it was a sad feeling. It put a bitter taste in everybody's mouth that I know out here. I knew a couple of directors that were there, and they felt the same thing. They, like, just sucked the air out of the room. And then at the end of the night, you see everybody partied on like it was just another magical night in Hollywood. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it sticks a long time. Maybe it does not.
How much do you think this has tarnished so many other winners? Questlove, who won for the documentary Summer of Soul. Yep. It was a night to honor the Williams sisters and their dad. And as you mentioned, the cast of Coda making history. All these other accomplishments that really become footnotes. Maybe that's the biggest victimhood in all this.
Yeah, for sure. And he's apologized to the other people in his category, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, Questlove has put his time in this business. He deserved his night too, and everybody else did. You know, everybody else. You know, the Oscars is what it is, right, Dimitri? You know, it is a big show. It's a big parade. You know, nobody ever agrees with the winners and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's the movie business. We're trying to keep it steady, you know, trying to make people love going to movies. And the magic of movies is fighting for its life out here. And if it's a big celebration of movie making, it should have just been that.
Let's talk a little as we finish up here about A View from the Middle. What will we learn from your book? And by the way, are you still in the Hollywood system? Do you go out for auditions or get various jobs?
Yes, sir. I'm hustling as always. I worked on the book. I started it before the pandemic, but I grinded it out to get it out during that time when I was home. But I'm still auditioning for commercials all the time, and we're trying to hustle this horror movie we wrote through the system, and we've been close a couple times, but you know, that's just the way it goes out here. We've been trying to sell this movie for 5 years, and but you know, we have great meetings, handshake deals, and then it goes away, and then we got to start that hustle again. But I don't care at all. The book, Dimitri, is about, you know, I'm from a town of 1,000 people in Colorado, and I loved acting from the second I got on stage in high school and loved it in college. And when I moved to LA like on an internship, I got lucky and got an internship at Entertainment Tonight, and I'm down there like 2 weeks, and I'm working the red carpet at the Golden Globes. You know, I'm holding the microphone, and Tom Cruise walks by, and James Earl Jones, and Clint Eastwood. And I'm like, I can't believe how cool this is. And I was hooked. I was a production assistant for years, you know, making coffee and making copies and delivering scripts to people in the dark of night, you know, going to Sybil Shepherd's house at 10 at night and dropping off script changes and, going to Jeremy Renner's house and giving him scripts. He throws them in the other pile of scripts he has at his front door. And
right.
He was nice to me. He'd always give me a Coke. When I went to his house and dropped off a script, he'd always give me a Coke. That was a good guy. But but then, you know, then I just kept hustling. You know, I found a way to be a stand-in for a while, you know, doubling for other actors that were my height and skin color, like Bruce Willis and Mel Gibson and Ben Affleck and Greg Kinnear. And I got to be these guys' photo doubles and seeing, you know, being right there when all these awesome movies are being made. And I just, you know, I just knew in my heart, I'd never want to leave this business. It has a dark side to it too, but I don't care. The highs outweighed the lows by a million. And then when I started getting my own roles, you know, on CSI New York or 24 or Officer Number 3 on whatever show you can see, you know, getting the jobs was hard, but once you got them and you're on set, Dimitri, you know, being on set with Gary Sinise and the glorious day of my life was on. I got a day of work on The Office with Steve Carell and Ed Helms. And it was just me. I was a college baseball coach, and these two nitwits came out to watch me coach because Steve Carell is having a torrid affair with my wife. But, you know, that was me. Some little kid, you know, I'm not some brilliant, amazing actor. I'm not some gorgeous guy, but I just stuck with it for decades pounding the pavement, and I didn't care about the rejection. And but the days on the sun, like that day in The Office or working on Clint Eastwood's movie and J. Edgar and playing H.R. Haldeman for even one day, just being on set with Eastwood and those, you know, those glorious moments where you're just like, man, I'm so glad I'm here. And you know, I just the book is about how it's not just chasing your dreams. It's about, like, who cares how hard it is. You know, you can have big dreams, and at times you don't even know what you're doing. But man, if you just plow through, I guarantee you, if a dude like me can do it, anybody can do it, and you don't need to get famous, and you don't need to get rich, and you can still have an amazing life chasing this stuff if you love it as much as I did.
Well, I did have one final question that I think is very specific to you, and that is, when you're next to a Steve Carell or a Chris Rock, or, you know, I think it would say a lot about them, superstars that they are, that when you're working with them, they say, I'm an actor and you're an actor, not that, you know, I'm the big cheese and you're just this peripheral character. Did you find that, you know, people are very generous, the best people are just saying that you, Larkin, are an actor just like I am, and we're going to do the best job we can here, and it's not about me lighting up the room or being the authority, so to speak.
Yeah, I think you hit it head on. It just the only jerk actors I've met are guys you've never heard of. You know, like if I was up for a pilot, and it's down to me and two or three guys, and we're all in the lobby together, and we're staring at each other, and you know, we all say good luck, but none of us mean it. You know, I've run into jerks there, but you know, the glorious people that I've run into, and I've had, you know, the whole book is about how lucky I got running into, you know, I got to be a stand-in with Kurt Russell on Escape from L.A. and being around that guy and shooting baskets with Woody Harrelson when I was working as a PA right next to Cheers, and Woody comes out and he wants to shoot hoops. And yeah, I mean, all of them, they're just people. Of course, they're just people. And if you're not a jerk to them and obnoxious, they, you know, they're there to do a job too. And Steve Carell and Ed Helms, we weren't in the office. We were just out in this baseball field, and it was just us three. And they couldn't have been kinder to me. I they were never going to see me again. Steve Carell took pictures with me. He would have taken 50 if I asked him. Couldn't have been a sweeter guy. And they let me riff a little bit with my lines because they're making up their stuff. They had lines. Don't get me wrong, Dimitri. They had lines, but they didn't always say them. And so I'm making up stuff. They couldn't have been more gracious. And you know, I don't mean to say it's always been, you know, lollipops and rainbows out here, because it is not. It is. I've been rejected over 500 times for parts that I, you know, easily could have done. It went to some average looking guy like me, you know, different cop roles and different dad roles and this funny sidekick roles. And I got far less than I auditioned for. But, you know, my book is just to aspiring actors out there, because when I moved down here, I was clueless. And I just want them, to, you know, people to know that, like, you know, there are days in the sun. You just got to keep chasing them. And I know I had wildly positive experiences in my book with the celebrities I met, but I had dark days too. But I never let them bother me, because you know, every time it's like when you make a great golf shot, right, Dimitri? And then you're hooked for the next 2 years, right?